Come on, let's lift up the name of Jesus Christ. There is none other in heaven or on earth. Welcome to another episode of Hope in Christ with Denise, here on Kingdom Influencers Broadcast, where we place our hope in the only hope there is, Christ our Lord.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome back to Hope in Christ with Denise here on Kingdom Influencers Broadcast. I am your host, Pastor Denise, and I welcome you back to today. And today is a special day. Today is the 100th episode of Hope in Christ with Denise. And I am so excited because today I am going to be talking to you, and we're going to be chatting about when the Lord becomes our hiding place, or when the Lord becomes our refuge. This is an important topic to me because had I not allowed God to become my hiding place, to become my refuge, then I wouldn't have made it to 100 episodes, because there are so many things that come up against us in this world. And so before we begin with this wonderful topic today, we're going to open up with a word of prayer, and then we will jump right into this message. Father, we thank you, O God, for this time. We thank you for this opportunity once again. We thank you, Lord God, for you alone are God, and we just bless your name. Father, we know, O God, that you desire that the word be ministered across the nations, O God. We desire that we speak the truth, oh God, and say what you would have us to say and do what you would have us to do, oh God. And so, Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus that everyone, every voice, every sound that everyone would hear would be yours, oh God, and that they would adhere to your voice, oh God, and know that as we make you our refuge or our hiding place, then you will do miraculous wonders in our lives. And so we thank you, hallelujah. We glorify your name, oh God, and we magnify you, Lord. And we just say thank you once again, oh God, for this opportunity to minister the truth of the gospel. And so, God, we bless your name. In Jesus' name, amen. So again, thank you all for tuning in to Hope in Christ with Denise here on Kingdom Influencers Broadcast. Again, I'm your host, Pastor Denise, and I am here on our 100th episode of Hope in Christ with Denise. First of all, I want to make sure that we understand that Hope in Christ, we are healthy, we are overcomers, we have purpose, and we maintain an eternal perspective as we seek the truth of who Christ is, as we walk in our true identity in Christ Jesus. And so we know that we can do all those things because he makes us whole. And so without further ado, we're going to begin to talk about when we allow God to become our hiding place or our refuge. So many of you have heard me teach before, and you know that I love vocabulary, and I love to break down the word because it's so very vitally important that we break down the word so that we understand what is the word saying to me. What is that word? What is it speaking to me so loudly about who God is? And so we're going to begin with that. And so again, the word or the topic that we're going to be speaking about this morning is when the Lord becomes our hiding place. So before we talk about the definition of these words, I want to make sure that we understand that there are many things or many people that we may allow to become our hiding place or our refuge. And when that happens, if it's in the wrong place, then we end up empty. We end up not fulfilled. We end up searching for more. And so what we find ourselves doing, we find ourselves continuously searching because we don't stop to allow God to be our refuge and allow God to be our hiding place. Because one of the signature scriptures that God gave me many years ago when I accepted Christ was Psalm 91. And Psalm 91, verses 1 and 2 read, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God whom I trust." So we're gonna park in those two scriptures. Again, it says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord," the true existing one, the self-existing one, the Almighty God, the one who is existing within himself. That's what Lord means. "My refuge and my fortress." So the writer of Psalm 91 says, "I will say to the Lord," the self-existing God, the one who exists within himself, "I will say these words, my refuge and my fortress. And then I will also say, my God in whom I trust." So can I ask my listeners out there, do you trust God to become your refuge and your fortress? Do you trust God to become your refuge and your fortress? Once again, those that are listening, this is the 100th episode of Hope in Christ with Denise, and I'm so excited to talk about this topic today, when the Lord becomes my hiding place or my refuge, because had I not allowed God to become just that, you wouldn't be listening to the 100th episode of Hope in Christ with Denise. So again, our foundational scripture is Psalm 91, verses 1 and 2. So let's talk about the word hiding. The word hiding says to seek protection or evade responsibilities, to put out of sight, to conceal for shelter or protection, to screen from view. Again, it says to seek protection or evade responsibilities, to put out of sight, to conceal for shelter or protection, to screen from view. And so the part of the definition that we're going to zoom in on is the definition that says to conceal for shelter or protection, to conceal for shelter or protection. And then we have to look at the word shelter. The word shelter, again, in Psalm 91, where it says, my refuge. So the word shelter is, it begins with the definition refuge. And then it says cover or covering. And then it says defend or shield or secure. So when we think about a natural shelter, meaning our homes and where we live and where we dwell, we notice that we can see all of those terms. We can see that we go and we come home and we seek refuge at home, and our home is our covering physically, and we know that our home, the surrounding of our home, the cement and everything that surrounds the home, is a defender or shield from the dangerous weathers and even for people being easily able to get into our homes, right? And then it's a place of security. You can lock the doors, you can lock the windows, we have alarm systems and all of those things. So we can think of a physical shelter in the same way. But also in that physical shelter, we find what we need. We find heat, we find when it's cold outside, we find air conditioning when it's warm outside, we find food in the refrigerator. We find those things that we need. We find a restroom where we, you know, when we have to go to the restroom. So those are the things that we need, not want, in a shelter or in our dwelling place or in our home physically. And so we want to make that connect to us allowing God to become our hiding place or our refuge, okay? And so we know, again, that a shelter is something that covers or affords protection, something that covers us or protects us from, again, the weather, and also from people having easy access to our space where we are. It also provides food and a state of being covered or protected. So the food, the nourishment, what we need, we're able to cook our food, and we have water, and we have, so I'm just going to talk about the basics. So the basic food substance and water to drink, because that's what we need to survive, right? And so let's talk about the word concealed, because that was a part of the definition, to conceal for shelter or protection. So conceal means to prevent disclosure or recognition of, to place out of sight. So when we walk into our physical home, we close the door, we close the windows, we close the blind, and we are out of sight, right? We pull into the garage and we're out of sight. Nobody knows if we're there or not. We're talking about a home, let's say one that has a garage. Again, nobody really knows if you're there except the lights are on. But let's say it's nighttime. Let's say it's quiet. Everybody's quiet in the house and nobody knows that you're there. So that's meaning, again, to place out of sight, or to prevent disclosure or recognition of. So if somebody, let's say somebody is trying to find you and they have no clue as to where you live, they can't find you because they can't see you. Amen? And so some of the synonyms for this hiding or this concealing or this refuge is to cover or to curtain, right, to screen or to hide. So we're talking about concealing, to cover, to curtain, to screen, or to hide. So then this leads us up to why. Why should we then make God our shelter, our refuge, our hiding place? So let's talk about it through the Word of God. So if you grab your Bibles, if you go ahead and grab your Bibles, we're going to come from the Word. Of course, we have to come from the Word because we rely upon the Word of God, right? And so we're going to, again, we started with the foundational scripture, Psalm 91, verses 1 and 2, but we're going to then come from the Word. What does it look like? What does it look like to spiritually allow God to become our hiding place, our refuge? And as the songwriter says, my hiding place, my safe refuge. We know that we're safe. We're not necessarily safe in our physical shelter. We can temporarily, there are some safety measures we can put in place, but we're not completely safe in our physical shelter. But the Bible tells us that we can be safe as we take refuge in God. Amen? And so let's begin with Psalm 27 and verse 5. So in Psalm 27, verse 5, if you would grab that. So Psalm 27, verse 5 reads, "For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock." So, in Psalm 27 and 5, we see the same word. We see hiding. We see God protecting the individual from something, okay? And so let's go up to the other verses. Let's read it from 1 to verse 5. And so Psalm 27, 1 through 5 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and my foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his tabernacle, in the secret place of his tabernacle. He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. Again, we just read a Psalm of David, and it is verses 1 through 5 of Psalm 27. So let's talk about verse 5. So we notice, if we back up, and so let me say the importance of why we should read in context. Because when we're reading the Word of God in context, we are not taking it out of context. So we want to make sure that we are focusing in on what is the main focal point. What is this person really talking about overall? The main theme overall that this person is speaking about, and not take it out of context and take it over into something else. So making sure that we understand that is very vitally important. Just like when we're reading and we're learning in school, or we're learning in college and we have to read the whole text to get the gist of the main theme or the main idea, then we have to read the whole text, the text around the text that we're focused in on, so that we don't take it out of context, okay? So in Psalm 27, again, the first part of the scripture in verse 1, it says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. So King David said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. So nothing can compare to the Lord. Nothing else can be light for me, right? Nothing else can save me, or no one else can save me. And he said, whom shall I fear? He's asking, who am I supposed to be afraid of? Because the Lord is my light and my salvation. And then he goes on to say, the Lord is the strength of my life. So I may be weak, but God is the strength of my life. He strengthens my entire being. And then he goes on to say, of whom shall I be afraid? Who in this world am I to fear? Because I've made God, and I put God in the rightful place, right? And then he goes on to talk about the wicked coming up against him. And he says his enemies coming up against him, they stumbled and they failed. Means they did, they weren't successful. They couldn't reach him because God was protecting him, right? And so we get down to verse number 5, and he says, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his tabernacle, in the secret place of his tabernacle. He shall hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. So when we make God our hiding place, or our secret place, or our refuge, make it where people can't even locate you. He protects you to the extent of surrounding you even from dangers you cannot see, surrounding you spiritually, covering you and protecting you from any type of danger. And so this is what King David is telling us here. Protection, it says that when things happen, when trouble comes, the Bible doesn't say trouble won't come to us. And so many times in the world, we begin to say, well, why did God let this happen? And why is this happening? And why is that happening? And God is saying, I never said you wouldn't have troubles. The Bible doesn't say to us, we see in this scripture, that we wouldn't have troubles. But the Bible declares and tells us that we can take shelter, we can hide in God. And so why is it so important that we hide in God? One, because he's all powerful. One is because he's the great defender. He is the one, the righteous one. He is the one who is all that we need. If we just sum it all up, God is all that we need. He's our protector. He's our healer. He's our way maker. He's our deliverer. He is all in all. So why is it so important that we take refuge in him spiritually? Taking refuge in God. Spiritually, making sure that we're covered by the power of God. We're covered by who God is. We're covered because the Bible says that no weapon formed shall prosper, and every tongue that rises shall be condemned. This is the heritage of the servants of the Most High. So the Bible says that no, it may form, just like King David is saying, the weapons will form. And we're talking about a physical enemy, but we could also be talking about environmental things. We can also be talking about those things. So right now we live in a time of COVID-19, and we see things getting worse and worse and worse. And so in the environment, an environmental issue, we still take refuge. We trust God. We go and make sure that we're hearing from God, and we're taking shelter in God so that he can cover us, he can protect us. But not only that, even let's say, because many people have lost someone, but they did not, if they were in Christ, let's say that, when they were in Christ, they did not lose. The person did not lose overall. They are standing in God's presence. They're standing before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so we have to take refuge, not for just on the physical side of the earth, but in the spirit, because we are spirit beings. And when we exit this life, we stand before the Mighty One. We stand in his presence, and we see the beauty of the holiness that the Bible describes, that people in the Bible describe about this wonderful counselor, this mighty God, this King of Kings and this Lord of Lords. We stand in his presence, and in his presence is fullness of joy. And so we can be in the physical realm and in the natural realm here on earth, and we can be going through things in this world and still have joy, because we've made God our refuge, right? David is secure. He sounds confident. We can be confident because we have made God our refuge. We have made God our place of safety spiritually. Because how many people know that in your mind, the mind goes bonkers in times like this, in times of trouble, in times of pandemics and whatever it is, whatever's going on in our lives, our mind goes bonkers. And so God keeps the mind. The Bible says he keep us as we keep our mind stayed on him. He will keep us in perfect peace. And so that's where we want to be. We want to be at peace. Just like when we get in our physical homes, most of us, most of the time, when we're in our physical home. Now, we're not talking about a home that has abuse in it. We're not talking about a home, a dwelling place where there is domestic violence. I'm not referencing it. I'm referencing a home that there's peace when you get there, and there is quiet, and there's a place to go and rest. That's what type of home I'm referencing. So, with that being said, a home that where there is abuse and the domestic violence and things like that, that is all the more reason to make God our refuge, all the more reason to flee to God from a situation as such as that into the arms of God and allow God to take us to a physical place, to allow us to open a door for us to get to a physical dwelling, a physical place where he can give us physical peace in that place away from danger. So I just felt that I needed to say that. All right, and so our second scripture is Psalm 31 and 20. So we have another scripture that we're going to talk about. And again, we're going to read in the context of that scripture. So I'm going to read a little bit above it. And I'll start with verse number 16. I'll start with verse 16, so 31, 16, and then we'll stop at verse 20. So Psalm 31, verse 16 says, "Make your face shine upon me, your servant, Save me for your mercy's sake. Do not let me be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon you. Let the wicked be ashamed. Let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak insolent things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. Oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you. In the presence of the sons of men, you shall hide them, verse 20, in the secret place of your presence. From the plots of man, you shall keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. And so verse 20 of Psalm 31 tells us that God is protecting us or hiding us from plots of man. So sometimes we don't even know that somebody's plotting against us, somebody's trying to come against us. It could be on our jobs, it could be even in our families or even away from our families, wherever. But there are sometimes people are plotting against us, but God knows. God knows. God knows all things. And so he can reveal those things to us, and also he can protect us from those. So that's what this psalm is saying. It says, from the plots of man, you shall keep them secretly. And then it says, from the strife of tongues. So when people are speaking ill about you, it's important that we don't get involved in all of that, that we take refuge, that we allow God to cover us, as we talked about with the definition. We allow God to cover us. We allow God to conceal us, to shelter us in and protect us from the evil words or the words that are spoken. And also we allow him to place us out of sight. So we don't have to fight. We don't have to get into an argument because this scripture talks about the strife of tongues. We don't have to get into all of these arguments with people because God has us. And so as we just take refuge in him, he can give us peace even in that. He can protect us from the plots of men. Sometimes, again, as I said, we don't know. We have absolutely no clue who may be trying to come against us, but God knows all things. And so it is so important for us. Let me stop right here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In order for us to take refuge in the Most High God, in order for us to take refuge in the Most High God, I'm going to say it one more time. In order for us to take refuge in the Most High God, we must trust him. We must trust that his, as our physical shelter, as we walk into our physical shelter, we trust that it is going to be warm. We trust that the roof is not going to cave in. We trust that the garage is going to close. We trust that there's the food in the refrigerator is going to fill us. We trust, we have trust in physical things. But in order to make God, in order to take refuge in the Most High God, in order for God to become that place for you, you have to trust that God is who he says he is. I don't know who I'm speaking to in this 100th episode, but I had to trust who God says he is. I notice I didn't say who he was, because God is. The Bible says that God is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. God is eternal. God is an eternal, righteous, holy God. He is the one true and living God. He's the one who breathed life into man, and man became a living being. And so whomever, if you don't trust God, you can't take refuge in him. If you don't trust God, you can't take refuge in him. Because you don't trust that he's going to protect you. You don't trust that he's going to cover you. You don't trust that he's going to conceal you from your enemies. You don't trust that he's going to provide everything that you need. Not what you want, but what you need. Notice when I talked about the physical shelter, there are things we want in that shelter, but there's also things that we need. We want to talk about the needs because God wants to give us what we need, but we must allow him to become our refuge. So I'm saying to the person that's listening to me, that's saying, but I don't know that I can trust God, and I trusted God before, and this person walked away from me. I trusted God before, and then this happened to me. But did you really trust God? Did you trust God, or did you trust that person? Because could it be that God allowed that person to walk away because that person wasn't for you? That, remember, we talked about your dwelling place or your safety haven. That has to be free of toxin. So if you have people that are toxic in your life and you're asking God, why did you remove them? That's not good. We want to make sure that we understand that God, overall, God is more concerned about drawing us to Him. Drawing us, first of all, to make us understand that He is all we need. He is everything that we need. So I'm going to take you just a quick testimony. You've heard my testimony on the podcast before. But I felt that my love and everything that I need would come in play with becoming a parent. I thought that that would be everything that I needed, that it would be, the deal would be sealed, and the love that I was seeking after was right there in becoming a parent. And so many years ago, I was diagnosed with what's called endometriosis. And many of you read my book, Barren Womb, and you know that it is not necessarily based on my life, but that some of the themes from my life are included in Barren Womb. So the story is fictional, but endometriosis is included in Barren Womb. And so when I was diagnosed with endometriosis, I was very young. I was about 22, I want to say. And the doctors told me about this endometriosis. And so, as Apostle Paul says, this thorn in my flesh has been there with me for many years. And but God used that to get me to the secret place. He used that to get me to the secret place. So let me explain. So somebody's probably asking, well, what are you talking about? That's something that somebody doesn't want. Well, we know that endometriosis, and as I say in the book, and as I've said many times before, endometriosis can cause barrenness, can cause one to be not able to have children. And so I was told that. I had miscarried, and I was told that I could not have children, and I'm trying to get to the point of why God needs to become our secret place and our hiding place. And so for years of my life, I battled with depression. I battled with just so much, especially depression. That became that place that wasn't, I didn't feel safe. I didn't feel well sometimes. And I was very lost because of that. And so for years of my life, I tried to figure it out on my own, right? For years of my life, I tried to figure it out on my own. But I tried to do all of these treatments, the natural treatments for endometriosis and all those different things. But what I didn't realize was that I knew somehow that there was something greater that I was searching for. Somehow down in my spirit man, where I felt so broken and so empty and so lost and so unloved due to other situations in my life. And so as I progressed and as time progressed, God began to speak to me through other people. And I just, my focus was being a mother, having a child. And I took up refuge in depression. I took up refuge right there in that place. And one day, a lady who was an evangelist, a minister of the gospel, and one day God used her to speak to me. One day God used her to say to me, make God your refuge. Make God your hiding place. Love God more than anything else. Want God more than you want anything else in your life. And at first, I got offended because I was like, what is she talking about? Do I want something more than I want God? See, sometimes we don't realize that thing that we have, if we fall into depression because we can't have whatever it is, or we fall into an angry place in our life, or we fall into a rebellious place in our life because we feel that we can't have something, we have taken up refuge in that. We have made that our dwelling place. We have begin to trust that somehow, some way, I'm going to get what I want. And so that's where I was. And at first, again, I got offended about what she said to me because I didn't understand, like, I don't get what you're saying to me. And so as if she really understood or the Holy Spirit was speaking through her, she repeated it. And then she began to explain. She began to explain that sometimes we take and we make things our love, our greatest love, and we sit right there. I had taken up refuge in depression. And she said, God can do anything, but you have to want him more than you want that. And so that particular day, that was the day of my salvation. That was the day I accepted Christ. And I am so grateful that I experienced that. And see, this is when God has you to allow God to heal you in that secret place. You've gotten to this place of safety, and you've allowed God to do the work in you. Because I now understand, and I now thank God for walking me through that, for taking me through that, allowing me to go through those things. Because had I not experienced endometriosis, I would not have come to the moment of salvation. I probably could have, God could have come a different way, but this was the way he came for Denise. This was the way that he desired to draw Denise at this very moment. So, of course, I went to my car, sat in my car, sobbed, I drove home, and then I began to ask God. I didn't know how to pray for salvation. I didn't know anything about any of that at the time because I was raised up in religion. I was raised up in you go to church, you come home, and you're all right. And you go to church, and you come home, and you're all right. But you haven't changed. So by that time, I knew there was something that there was something greater, and there was something different that needed to take place in my life because I hadn't changed. And I knew, or somehow I needed God to change my heart. I needed God to be what I needed. And so I began to cry out. By the time I got home, I cried out to God. I cried out to God. I began to say to him, Lord, I don't know how to accept Christ. I don't know what words to say, but I ask that you would forgive me. So somebody that's listening to me needs to ask God, Lord, forgive me. Why are you saying I need to ask God to forgive me? Because God is my creator. God is my all. Everything that I am is because of God. And so when we make something else, when we choose something else, and we desire something over him, then God says that there shall be no other God before me. And so sometimes we make something, that thing or that person becomes God to us, and we never knew it. And so I repent and I ask God, Lord, please forgive me. I don't know. I never knew that I wanted something more than you. Show me you. Show me how to accept you. And I begin to just authentically say to God, save me. And he did. And in the process of this that I was experiencing that day was the power of God coming upon me. And I remember so clearly picking up the scripture, picking up the Bible, and I was crying so heavily and sobbing that I put the Bible down. I opened it up and put it down beside me. And when I picked that Bible up and it was in my hand, the verse of Matthew 6:33, I looked down at, and the verse said, but seek first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. And so at that moment, I knew that was God speaking to me. That was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because he said, don't seek that thing. Don't seek. Yes, endometriosis has become a thorn in your flesh, as Apostle Paul puts it in the scripture. Yes, you have dwelt with this for many years, and I have dealt with endometriosis for many years. Even now, I still have the diagnosis of endometriosis. But can I tell you this? Endometriosis doesn't have me. I'm in the hiding place, in the secret place of God. And guess what? After I allowed God to do that, after I sought first the kingdom and all of his righteousness, God did begin to add everything else unto me. As I made him first, as I took safety in him, as I allowed him to heal me, deliver me, and set me free, he then added everything else unto me. So 3 years after that, 3 years after my miscarriage, depression, and everything else, I became pregnant with my son. The doctor could not understand it. She was floored when she got the picture of our son. But I knew that God was doing a work in me, and he desired for me to know who he is. God desires for somebody that's listening to Hope in Christ with Denise today, or this evening, or this morning, to know that you can trust him. To know that in spite of what you've experienced, yes, you've gone through what you've gone through, but he desires to fill you. He desires that you not be empty another day. He desires that you take refuge and he becomes your hiding place. He becomes your place of safety. You allow him to nourish you. You allow him to heal you. You allow him to, you take rest. You know, when we come in our physical refuge or our physical place of safety or our home, we sleep, we get rest. He wants you to rest in him. He wants you to not worry another day, not walk in depression, not fear, and not question the why, but Lord, heal me. Lord, deliver me. Lord, I want us to think about that for a moment. He desires to get him to you. I stand today in your presence telling you that you will never be the same again. If you allow God to become your refuge, if you allow God to become your secret place, if you allow him to give you all of the things that you need, that you, just like I said, with the physical dwelling place, and every need is there. God is greater than that. And so I say to you, as we look at one more scripture, trust God, because the only way that you're going to be able to make him your safety place, your safe haven, your dwelling place, your covering, is that you trust that he can do that. Remember the scripture from King David. King David trusted that God would do that for him. He trusted, he had experienced God, and he knew that he said, whom shall I fear? He did not have to fear anything else, because God was greater than that person. God is greater than whomever is after you or whatever that thing is that's tormenting you. Amen. And so we look at Isaiah 25 and 4. And Isaiah 25 and 4 says, for you have been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shade from the heat. For the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. So these are metaphors. So these are examples of metaphors where it says, you have been a strength to the poor. So the poor not needing anything else because God provides the strength and the provision for them. And the strength to the needy and his distress. So when one is in need and distress, God is the strength of their life. And then a refuge from the storm. So again, that's a metaphor. So picture a place, your home, when it's a storm outside and you do everything possible to get home. The car is really not safe. Even if it's a bad storm, you do everything you can to get home. And sometimes there's people have storm shelters, especially when in places where there's really bad storms that take place. They have storm shelters and they do everything possible to get to that storm shelter. Picture that, and once they get into the storm shelter, they shut the door, and they're safe. And they're safe. So picture someone going underground into their storm shelter with their family, and the door closes, and then the storm can rage, and the storm can, you know, there can be this huge, humongous storm, but they are still safe. So no matter what happens in our life, God is that. God is that. Storm shelter. God is that place of protection. God is that shelter from harm. Because we know storms can kill people. We know storms can take lives. We know storms can do great damage. And so even if they come out from their storm shelter and their home is gone, their life is protected. So God then can give them back everything that was taken like he did with Job. And so somebody needs to hear that even though we've suffered loss, even though things have happened in our lives, we must trust God far greater than we've ever trusted any person and even ourselves. And sometimes, can I say this? God has to deliver us from us. So when we get to the secret place or the hiding place in God, sometimes God just got to deliver us from ourselves. Because we sometimes, as my students, I'm a teacher, and sometimes my students say, you're doing too much. We do too much sometimes. We overthink. We're trying to analyze God when God is God. We're trying to use our finite minds to analyze the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're trying to use this little brain of ours that was given to us by God to understand who God is, to analyze and say that, well, if God was God, then why does he allow this to happen? And why does he allow that to happen? When the Word tells us that we live in a fallen world, when the Word tells us that God gives us a free will, and guess what? God has the power to take control, right? We know that. He has the power to take control, but guess what? If he takes control, did you not know or realize that he has to take control of you? I don't know if we understood that. He has to take control of us, thereby we are no longer having a choice. And so now we're robots, and we have to do whatever God wants us to do. That's not the God of heaven and earth. He wants us to choose this day, as the word says, whom you will serve. He wants us to choose life. He says, I've placed before you, thank you, God. I've placed before you death and life. I've placed before you blessings and curses. He said, therefore, I want you to choose life. He wants us to choose. Why? Because true love comes from choice. Let me say that again. True love comes from being able to make a choice. Let me go back to my story about my testimony with my son being born. So when I was 5 months pregnant with my son, the doctors, I did that where they prick his spine and see if there's anything going to be wrong with the baby. And so the nurses called me, one of the nurses called me and said, hey, your results came back that your son would possibly have Down syndrome. Well, if I would have listened, and my husband and I would have listened to the nurses or the people that were supposed to save lives, right, that God put in those positions to save lives, those people, that nurse was trying to talk me into an abortion. I'm going to say that one more time. That particular nurse was doing everything possible to talk me into an abortion. And she had it, first of all, we didn't know 100%. We couldn't see our son. He was still in my belly. And so by that time, I had accepted Christ. And so the Holy Spirit said no. And so I began to tell this nurse, I said, well, let me say this to you. If God gave him to us, then he's going to make a way. And so had I not made the choice, hallelujah, glory to God, had I not made the choice to give birth to him anyway, not knowing what was going to be, I told this nurse, my husband and I told this nurse that day, that we will trust God. And that God, if he gave us a miracle, right? Because I had endometriosis covering both ovaries, covering my uterus. God placed our son there. And if he did that, why can't he keep him from being Down syndrome? And even if he was, why would I not love him anyway? Right? And so those were my words to the nurse. And she seemed a little upset. She said, okay, but do you know how hard it is to take care of a child with Down syndrome? And I said, you know what? God will make a way. And here we are 16 years later, and my son does not have Down syndrome. And my son is very intelligent, a junior in high school and doing just fine because we trusted God and we loved him enough to give life to him, to let God bring him through the birth canal and keep him. So somebody has to trust God to become the dwelling place. We have allowed God, I've allowed God to be my dwelling place. I've allowed God to heal. He's still healing. I'm not completely healed. We're never completely healed. It says from glory to glory and faith to faith is what God, the word says. And so we must, hallelujah to his name, trust the living one. And the final scripture says, our final scripture is Luke 8:22-28. And this is when Jesus rebukes the wind and the waves. And the Bible says, now it happened in Luke chapter 8, 22 through 25. Now it happened on a certain day that he got into a boat with his disciples. And he said to them, let us cross over to the other side of the lake. And they launched out. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And the wind storm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we are perishing. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water. And they ceased, and there was a calm. But he said to them, where is your faith? And they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, who can this be? For he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Can I say to you, I'm going to read it again, and then I'm going to sum it all up. So this is the scripture in Luke 8:22-25, and it says, now it happened on a certain day that he got into a boat with his disciples. He is Jesus. And he said to them, let us cross over to the other side of the lake. And they launched out, but as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling it with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we are perishing. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased. They ceased. The wind and the raging water ceased. And they ceased, and there was calm. But he said to them, Where is your faith? And they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, Who can this be? For he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Again, I've read for you Luke 8:22-25. So in summary, Jesus fell asleep in the midst of a storm because he alone is the storm, the one who can cease the storm in your life. He alone is God. The Bible says that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Bible says that before Abraham was, I am. That's what Jesus said in the scriptures. So what does he mean? Wait. Before Abraham was, I am. We know that Abraham was way back in Genesis, right? We know that Abraham existed long before Christ came on the scene in the flesh. He says in scripture, before Abraham was, I am. He said, I'm the bread of life. I am the bread of life. And so he stands up and rebukes what he created, ceases the storm, calms the wind. And so I say to the ones who's listening, as the disciples became afraid and felt that they were perishing when the Lord was with them, right there in the boat. He was right there with them. And then they marveled at, who is this man that he can tell the wind and the water to stop? I say to you that again, he says in the word of God, that before Abraham was, I am. He is all in all. He is the Lion of Judah. He is the bright and morning star. He is the great I am. He is the lily in the valley. He is all that we need. And so I say in my final thoughts before we pray that I pray that you would make him your refuge, your hiding place, because he is everything that you need. No matter who walked away, no matter who's in your life and who's not in your life, no matter what we feel that we need physically, he knows what we truly need. He knows what we truly need. And so in the ability to make a choice, he allows you to make that choice, to make him your refuge, your hiding place. Because in Psalm 91, the word says that he who dwells. That means the person has to come and take up refuge in God. And it says, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. Once you get there, you will know, and you will come to understand that nothing else can touch you. Nothing else. And he can heal you right there. He can deliver you right there. He can make a way right there as you trust him and take up safety in him. Amen. So let us pray. Father, we thank you, O God, for this word. We thank you, O God, for speaking, O God. We thank you, O God, for your holiness and your righteousness, O God. We thank you, O God, for salvation. We thank you for delivering us. And we thank you, Lord God, for being our dwelling place, O God. We pray for those that are listening, O God, that they would allow you to be that place for them, and they would come out of all of the hiding and all of the unsafe and toxic environments, and they would come and take refuge in you, Lord. And I thank you, oh God, that someone heard something this morning that would resonate with their spirit, man, and take up safety in the only true and living God there is. And I thank you and I praise you for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all for tuning in to Hope in Christ with Denise, the 100th episode. I pray that you will be here to listen to 101. We bless God for 100 episodes today. We thank God that at Hope in Christ, we will be celebrating on December 20th, the fifth year in ministry, the fifth year as a ministry of spreading the gospel in the airwaves, spreading the gospel through our blog ministry of Hope in Christ devotionals, and spreading the gospel in the Hope in Christ book club, where we share the books that God has placed in the heart of his people, and that we're sharing it out to the world because we're taking that message of the cross to the world through the Christian literature, through Hope in Christ with Denise, and through our blog ministry, and also through my voice as I go and I minister the gospel of truth to those that God sends me. And so I thank you again for tuning in, and have a phenomenal rest of your week.